It's over. It was a 9-2 shellacking by the Edmonton Oilers. They even said on their Oilers broadcast they were winning by a touchdown. I feel like that just adds insult to injury. We'll talk about all that and more after this. But first, if you want to be a part of this show, and I don't know why you would, chat with us and fellow Sharks fans on the page or the app. You can follow us or not. I don't care at this point. On YouTube, X, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Reddit, Discord, TikTok. And, you know, we have a website thing, you know, tealtownusa.com. Go check it out. And at Venmo, again, I don't know why you would want to support anything at this point at Tealtown USA over on the Venmo. And I mean, hi, Ian. How are you doing, bud?
I'm sitting in the dark because I'm severely concussed. But yeah, so this was just what the doctor ordered.
It's fitting, right? I mean, I feel like I should be wearing all black, you know, and be ready for the funeral pyre that, and ready to throw the carcass that is the San Jose Sharks onto it. That was 60 minutes of something.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? I'm glad that I wasn't on the show the last game that Cooley played. And before people think that I'm gonna dunk on Cooley, I'm not. Put your pitchforks away for a second and just relax. Because I think if you watch this game, I think of maybe the, I don't know how many goals he let in. Was it 7? I think you could maybe generously put 3 on him. But I thought, like, a lot of the reactions to Cooley's big win there. Actually, he played a really good game, but to me, it was more of an every dog has his day type of thing than, oh my God, the future. So I'm glad I wasn't on last show, because I think a lot of people have been really angry at me, and I think people might get angry at me on this show, but I think there's probably a lot more that would have, you know, be angry at a lot more things than just me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I even ended the cast with, hey, you know, goalies are black magic, and you just don't know what you have from start to start until you put consistency together, right? And,
yeah.
And, you know, you're just a guy until you start to, you know, really prove that you're not just a guy in net.
Yeah, and don't be wrong. Like, I would not be upset if they brought Cooley back next year to be kind of like a... Because I think the one thing that the Barracuda kind of screwed up on this year was you had Mäkiniemi, who's had injury problems. And he's been a guy who... He's had injury problems, but he's the only guy that really had a bunch of... Like, I wouldn't even say a bunch. He had more, obviously, pro experience than any of the other goalies. The other goalies are all first-year pros. So, like, if Logan Cooley came back next year, and he was kind of like that third guy, a guy who could come up and eat starts in the case of an injury or something like that, I don't hate that idea, right? As long as he doesn't take too many games away from Georgi Romanov and Magnus Krona, who I think Magnus Krona, like, for the Barracuda next year, it's going to be Krona's net, and it's going to be up to everyone else to try and take it from him. So I don't hate that idea of like bringing Cooley back for a role like that. Cause I think the one thing that the Sharks kind of screwed up this year, well, among the many things they screwed up this year, was not really having a veteran guy that could come in and play games. I think when I've said this before too, like when Magnus Krona played earlier in the season, when he played against Edmonton, like his game in the AHL, like it's come a long way. And like I said, it should be his net at this point. But at that point, he really hadn't found his game in the AHL. And then they brought him up to the NHL and had to figure it out for him, you know, trying to find a pro game when you couldn't find it at the level below the NHL. So I think, like, look at Cooley's been a great story in a season that hasn't really had much in the way of good stories. But yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I think the, oh my God, why isn't this guy signed yet? Should probably stop now and things should go back to normal.
Yeah. No, again, you're just a guy until you can string together some wins, and of his couple of starts, a couple have looked really bad. And look, I'm not saying that, again, all of it was on him.
But no, I think, like I said, you could pin maybe three goals, and I think three goals is generous on him. Like, the team in front of him was absolute dog shit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not going to even break down the goals because it's just, like, why even? but, I mean, literally, like, the first period was just, you knew it was that kind of a night when they got scored on in the first minute of the game. And, you know, Connor McDavid does the 100-point thing. Yeah, okay, whoopity for
100 assists.
Yeah. 100
Not
assists.
Even 100 points, 100 assists.
100 just assists.
Stupid.
No, it's, I mean, look, 132 points. That's,
yeah,
freaking amazing. But it's just, I'm just so dejected at this point. So anyhow, Gushkin gets his first goal of the season. Thomas Bortle gets an assist. It comes at 158.
Lucky goal for Goosh, but it was nice to see. Like, look at, I don't hate, like, we knew that this game was going to be a rough game. Like, you're playing against a potent Edmonton team. Connor McDavid comes back into the lineup after, I think, missing his last four, which, when you look at the guys that were missing from the lineup tonight, you know, it's like their goalies for the remainder of the season are going to be Logan Cooley and Georgi Romanov. Who I thought, like, Romanov came in and I think he played good, but I also think that the, like, I don't want to take anything away from what Georgi Romanov did in the third period, but at the same time, like, Edmonton's not going to continue going all up by eight when the playoffs are around the corner, right? Like, at this point, you just want to make sure you don't get injured in a stupid game like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And only goal in the third period would be Fabian Zetterlund. Kind of interesting. Sharks make it 2-2 forever. Eklund and Granlund getting the assists, and that would be it. The Sharks go out with a whimper, and Edmonton continues on, and we'll see. They could challenge for the tops in the division if things go their way. But very interesting to see this Edmonton team start to gear up for, right now, looks like a battle with LA. Could be something different if they do win the division. But, you know, I think I might like to see them for a third year. And maybe we finally get some of that animosity that, you know, the old-timers say was in the old divisions, because you just saw your opponents so many times.
Yeah.
We'll see. See if there's some fireworks. I mean, the LA team, I'll give them, they're scrappy, you know, and
yeah, that's scrappy. I mean, that should be, I don't know if, like, I don't think it's going to be a good playoff series because it would be the best hockey per se, but, like, the Kings have, like, the Oilers have ended the Kings' playoff aspirations so many games in a row, like, so many years in a row now, that I think just based on that, I think it's going to be a fun playoff series if that's the way it goes down, because you know, again, like, if you have a team that's had your number, like the way that the Oilers have had the Kings, like, that breeds some pretty good animosity. I think you know, I think Sharks fans can, if you go back not too long ago, it feels like an eternity now, but you know, that year that we, you know, the year, like, 2016, when we finally beat the Kings and then went on to the Stanley Cup playoffs, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it could be interesting if, like, if the Kings could pull an upset there. Like, I just wonder what that does for that group.
Yeah, I mean, that could galvanize that group to do something kind of interesting, see if they could, you know, make some noise in later rounds. I don't know that it's ready yet. I think it still needs one more year of maturation. But, AJ, thank you for the quotes in the locker room after the game. Appreciate it. I'll get some of them up if I see any of value at this point. But I mean, what can these guys say that will change anybody's mind about what happened?
I mean, this was a shit effort tonight. And again, I think that the talent discrepancy is obviously was on display here. Again, you had a couple of guys playing, you know, I think Thompson, I think this was maybe his fourth NHL game. You know, Gushkin, I think this is his fifth NHL game. He's got 4 points in five games as an NHL player. I think that's pretty good. But, you know, a lot of these guys playing in key spots were playing, have minimal NHL experience. And then you have to go up and, you know, if you're Jack Thompson, you have to go in and your first, assignment, you know, your first assignment is Connor McDavid. Like, welcome to the bigs, kid. You know, like, I think a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of these guys looked really bad. And I think that there's going to be some people out there who are going to be like, oh, this is the future. Like, this is, you know, this is bad. But I think, man, it's one thing to play in the AHL. It's another thing to come in and, you know, play your first game of the season against Connor McDavid, and that being your assignment as a, you know, as a defenseman with not obviously not a rookie defenseman, but a defenseman with very little NHL experience, and most of your experience being in the AHL.
Yeah, a good quote that we pulled up. If I was in Cooley's shoes, I wouldn't want to hear anything. None of those were his fault. Maybe we just give him space. He's a great goalie, but we didn't give him a chance tonight. And he says he wishes he knew the answer to why the Sharks, or how the Sharks stopped playing these type of games. And we'll see what Quinn has to say. But, I mean, what more can he say? I mean, he's
yeah.
I mean, he's at his wit's end. He, you know, he doesn't want this to happen as much as we don't want it to happen, but, you know, I'm
happy that, like, obviously, like, the guys are coming out to stick up for Cooley. I think that's good. Obviously, that's what you want to see. I think if, you know, guys had a, you know, if guys have a bad game, like the way they did, like, you want to see them come up and stick up for Cooley the way they are. And I think that's just, that's positive at least. Yeah. I'm grasping at straws here, I know, but, like, that's...
No, I'm glad
they're all coming out and saying, like, you know, this wasn't on Cooley, which is true. It wasn't. It absolutely wasn't.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm kind of being a shit host right now because it's just like, I have no clue what the hell to say anymore. You know, it's like, after this, I mean, I'm just thankful that this is my last show for the season. You know, I don't have to put up with this garbage anymore. I mean...
I have one more.
Sweet freedom after this, man, because I'm all ready to get my heart broken with baseball. But seriously, yeah. I mean, I'm just, look, it's, we're in the crater. We're in the crater right now. And I just hope everything from here is up.
Yeah,
but I could see this shit show getting worse, or at least, well, the you same know, here's next year.
It's funny because obviously, like, when you look at situations, like, so you look at things and, like, not only what's happened but what hasn't happened, right? And I think, you know, kind of this also Luke Johnson in the chat kind of making a comment along these lines too. The, like, you're seeing a lot of other teams where you're seeing a lot of, like, their junior guys or their college guys, sorry, have signed. Like Carter Gauthier signed in Anaheim, and Frank Nazar signed in, is it Nazar or Nazar? I always get that wrong. He signed in Chicago. Yeah. You know, but Will Smith hasn't signed. So
fuck no, I don't want him touching this organization.
No, I know. I know what you mean, but, like, but you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, if you're looking for things to get better next year, like, you'd think that if Will Smith was going to sign, he would want to sign now to get rid. Like, because a lot of these college guys, what you do to get them to sign is you sign them at the end of the season when you have a couple of games left and you burn that first year of their ELC. And the Sharks hasn't done that, which kind of leads me to believe that he's probably not coming next year.
No. Plus, why the fuck would he? I mean, look, I mean, if his buddy gets drafted by the team, then maybe they come together. But, you know, I just at this point, the air of stink is apparent upon this team. And, you know, God bless William Eklund and Thomas Bortolo, but I don't know how they survive through the rest of this rebuild and be part of the team and not have some, you know, serious developmental issues because of just the lack of defensive awareness that the team plays in, with them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they've been so used. It kind of reminds me of the Oilers before they started going to the playoffs, right, where they had accumulation of talent, but mm-hmm. they just didn't do anything with it. And you hate to see, you know, the ripe tomatoes go rotten on the vine, but I just, how do you put a winning organization and winning hockey together around these kids when you've got efforts like that tonight? And
I mean, a lot of teams, though, like, that kind of go through this process. We've seen some, I mean, the Sharks are pretty historically bad. We don't know, obviously, like the season that COVID cut short, like, that Detroit team was pretty brutal, and, you know, they're in a dogfight to make the playoffs this year, but they're definitely on the upswing again. I mean, this is unfortunate. It's part of the process, right? Like, this just, the problem is I don't know if this is rock bottom for the Sharks. I'm
totally right there with you. I think
like
I don't
know if this season's rock bottom. Is rock bottom still to come?
And I quite frankly don't know if Greer's the right person to pull it out. I don't know
if it's so early, though. Like, again, like,
I know we are only 2 years into the Greer regime, right? Two
yeah.
drafts in, and that's unfair to do that.
But yeah, it's like, it's,
but I don't know,
like,
that
I cannot...
he's shown me enough to give me confidence in the next 2 years, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure, but I mean, it's, I don't think there would be, I don't, how do I word this? I don't think that there is enough, that there's just been enough time to really get one way or another, like, a good feel on this thing. I think it's going to take, like, it's one of those things where, unfortunately, we need the time to really gauge where this thing is at. I mean, that's just the reality of it, right? If you look at what they have, like, so far, I think that, you know, Mike Greer's last two drafts, I haven't hated them, you know? I've kind of liked the way that they've gone. I think that I like the emphasis on size. I get concerned that we're going to get too much emphasis on size, though. That concerns me a little bit. But, like, Greer's done a lot of good things so far. Now, I think Greer has, you know, I think this summer is going to be really telling in a lot of ways, right?
No, I think
we have a draft lottery coming up.
His most pivotal offseason, I think, of his career as far as being the Sharks GM is this year.
Yeah, I think this summer is going to be the most telling, because obviously we have a draft lottery coming up, which is going to determine whether the Sharks are going to get the opportunity to draft Macklin Celebrini. That's out of Greer's hands. Like, we can't do anything about that. Yeah. It's a lottery. But I would also say that, you know, there is a really awful team that plays in a little arena called TechCU that is going to need some attention this summer. And I think I will have a lot of judgment on Mike Greer based on what happens with the Barracuda this summer. Cause I think that there's changes that need to be made there.
If he keeps John McCarthy as head coach next year, I'm going to have some real, real questions about his ability to make non-emotional judgments, because so far, I mean, we've seen the old guard kind of sniff around the team and have his ear.
Yeah,
and
I think Mike Greer's also done a good job of kind of dealing with that too. Like, for a long time, Evgeny Nabokov was the voice for goaltending, and now you know, they bring in Ryan Miller. I can't remember the other guy's name. That they brought in and I think that goaltending was kind of like, it wasn't obviously like a super strength because the both teams are where they are, but you know, Magnus Corona rounded into form really nice. I think Georgi Romanov, I don't think he started the season as strong as he finished it in the AHL, but he was, I mean, Georgi Romanov when the season started was the only reason that Barracuda looked remotely respectable in some games until Magnus Corona kind of got it sorted out. Mackenzie Blackwood I thought he had a good year. You know, Kaapo Kähkönen when he was here had a pretty solid year after the year before where he wasn't very good at all. Thomas Speer, thank you guys.
Thomas Speer.
So I mean, like, there's definitely been things that Mike Greer has done that I liked. I mean, he had to come in, he had to move out a bunch of contracts. I think that has gone okay. I think we're going to look back at that Brent Burns trade and probably make stink face for a long time about that one. But that was like, I think, one of the first trades he made as an NHL GM. So I will probably give him. But I think the Timo Meier trades turned out pretty good so far. The Erik Karlsson trade so far has been pretty good. Like, there's definitely been, I think there's been more positives than negatives with Mike Greer so far. But again, like, it's one of those things where, you know, this thing just started 2 years ago. Like, we're just at the start of it.
Yeah, I know. And that's,
we're not even at the build it up.
Yeah. And that's the scary part, is that because of the lack of awareness by the previous regime and mm-hmm. because, or the lack of facing reality, you know, it just,
sure,
you know, they just continue to kick and scream and you know, close their ears and close their eyes to the fact that the core was starting to age out and there wasn't really a good succession plan to come in behind them. We're reaping that, and you could have argued that the teardown should have happened 2 years earlier from when
previous regime, you can't, but really, like, we can be mad about it and we can grouse about how we got here, and we do that a lot on this show, but
I guess I'm just looking from a fan's perspective, right? I mean, that's two mm-hmm. lame duck years of Wilson plus the two, you know, the two horrible, like, downward trajectory years from Greer, and we're saying, okay, maybe we might start to crater out in year three, maybe start to make the pivot to even flatlining at some point. But we're even saying we're still probably on the backwards end of that curve and not come back on the other side of it yet. So
yeah, I don't have a lot of hope for next year being that much better. But I feel like after next year, then, like, I think once you're going to have guys that are going to obviously start graduating to pro hockey, then that's when the upswing has to start, in my opinion, anyway. Like, if we don't start seeing an upswing in year four, then we're in trouble.
Yeah. AJ, I'd bet the Sharks are the only team that has no forwards making more than $5 million, no talent yields these results. Yep.
100%. Like, this team was designed to be bad. Like, let's not make bones about it. Like, this team wasn't constructed to be good.
No, it was
this not. This team was constructed to bottom out. And I think now, obviously, you know, Logan Couture having his injury, and, you know, I don't think that was foreseen by anybody. Like, obviously, I don't think they planned for that. I don't think this was like a masterstroke by Mike Greer to have Logan Couture end up down as bad as he's been down this year. But, you know, again, like, that was kind of a happy accident for him. But then again, you know, you turn around, you trade Tomas Hertl. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, Erik Karlsson goes out in the summer and Brent Burns goes out before that and Timo Meier goes out. Like, I, again, like, the, I'm not mad at the results because this is exactly what we were expecting.
Oh, it is. It is. It's just, it's difficult to watch your team be gutted in real time and to show basically zero fight and, you know, really, really do a great job of keeling over. I mean, you know, they set out, this team was built to tank and it set out to do that. So, you know, it set out to do that and it did that and it did it in pretty epic fashion. It's going to have one of the worst goal differentials ever since it was tracked.
I think not since it was tracked, but I think in the salary cap era, it's probably the worst that it's ever been.
Yeah. And, you know, for those who weren't around the first time, you know, at least there was an air of, hey, this team is kind of up and coming, and you still had a little bit of the honeymoon of, you know, getting a team in the 90s. But,
sure.
But right now, I mean, it really sucks to be a Sharks fan.
Yeah, I mean, like, pretty saying, like, do we want Couture back? Like, here, we don't have, like, again, like, things like the things in our control, things out of our control, right? We don't have, like, no one's taking on, like, look at Arizona's moving to Utah. They're not laundering money for the league anymore.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
The best possible outcome for Couture is this, is that he does a silent retirement, basically says, look, you guys trade me to whoever needs some cap savings. You know who that's going to be. It's going to be a blue and white team, you know, and needing to play the LTIR game. And, you know, if the Sharks extract any value out of that contract, it'll be for, you know, helping a team get under their cap. If not,
but there's a lot of assumptions being made there, right?
Right.
Like that,
right.
He's done.
But if he does come back and he tries to do this again, there's no guarantee of what player you will get back. I mean, we all saw Ryan Kesler at the end of his days with his back injuries and was a shell of his former self.
Sure. Tonsky asking in the chat, how are our draft picks from New Jersey and Pittsburgh looking? So our pick from New Jersey is a second round pick because they are not going to make the playoffs, which means they cannot progress in the playoffs and turn that pick into a first round pick. The Pittsburgh pick is still in the first round. It's fine. And pretty much the only way I can see Pittsburgh not parting ways with it is if they'd have to give it to us because it's not in the top 10. So unless they won the lottery and moved up 10 spaces, we're going to be picking with Pittsburgh's pick in the first round there. So,
yeah. And people asking, you know, what can we do to go sign defensemen or whatever? I don't delude yourself, people. I mean, there's not one or two signings out there that's going to magically fix this shit blue line. I mean, you could put the second coming of Bobby Orr on this effort and would not go anywhere.
Yeah, so, and I think the other thing, too, is like, I've been always like of the mind that you just don't want to like throw all the kids out there without any cushion or anything. But you don't want to sign so many guys that you can't get a guy like Shakir Mukhamudulin into the lineup because you've signed too many dumb fourth, fifth, sixth defensemen to play all the defensive positions. Like you do want to leave a spot, like not leave a spot, like you don't want to give, again, you don't want anyone to just be given anything, but you want to have room for someone to be able to earn that job out of camp.
Yeah, but you'd have to have a modicum of talent in front of them. And at this point, there is none of that, you know? So it's like, at this point, the Sharks are just hoping for healthy bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, like, I think you've got a lot of meh guys.
Ricky, thank you so much. Now our defense is getting Benning back. That's all we need. All-star Matt Benning right there. All-star Matt Benning. Woo.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they do in the summer on the blue line. You know, earlier in the show, there was a lot of talk about Kalen Addison. And I think, like, Kalen Addison doesn't really upset, like, I don't think he should be back. Like, I'm not trying to say, like, this is not me advocating for Kalen Addison. I think it was a good swing, though. Like, I don't hate the swing. It just didn't work out, and it's fine. Like, I think when they went out and got him, they, you know, they didn't have any offense from the blue line, and they tried to address that with the, you know, I think they threw a pick to Minnesota to get Kalen Addison. It didn't work out. It's fine. I admire the swing.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same swing that they did for a guy like Oscar Lindblom, right? I mean, they thought, you know, hopefully a guy who could regain some form, you know, good story, try to give him another home and give him another shot and see what he could do. And, you know, Kalen, I think what sucks is there was some hype around him as far as what he could be. But at this point, I mean, there's a reason why Minnesota was willing to trade him.
Yeah, I think Kalen Addison's a guy, like, I would be more distraught if they brought him back. I think, like Ricky said in the chat, you know, like, getting a season out of a fifth round pick is pretty good, right? Like, it didn't work out, but it was a worthwhile swing to take. And, like, that's the thing, right? I think it's going to be one of those things where you're going to take a lot of swings, and not all of them are going to work. Like, no GM out there hits bats 1,000.
Yeah, Sharks Org, I was laughing at this. So, resign?
No, absolutely not.
Well, it depends on what the Sharks are trying to do, right? If they're trying to go for first overall again next year.
No, I just think he's... I don't think he adds any value, and he's not... Like, I don't think he's been... As the season progressed, like, he kind of had trouble getting into the lineup. But he's
suffering from Kevin LeBanc syndrome.
A little bit. But those guys are taking spots.
Right.
Right, you're taking spots away from someone else who could be fighting for that roster spot.
No. Yeah. Luke Johnson, I hope we take on some big contracts this summer for picks. Not a bad way. Could happen. Some picks if we're gonna suck for another 2 more years. I mean, 2 more years at least. I mean,
it could happen. Like, here's the thing, like, right? The problem this summer is that for the first time in a long time, the cap's actually gonna go up. So I don't know how easy it's going to be to weapon. Like, it would have been a lot easier to weaponize cap space had the Sharks come to the conclusion they were bad way quicker than they did.
Yep.
do we sign Jacob McDonald? I mean, he's an elite forward. What can I say? You probably bring that guy back. It's hard to find elite forwards. Jacob, there's a guy like, who's probably taking a spot. Like, I would rather, you know, again, like, you have Jacob McDonald playing forward because you don't want to put him on waivers or whatever. And then, like, a guy like Daniil Gushkin can't get a call up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't hate Jacob McDonald. I just think, you know, he's fine. Like, he doesn't offend me as a player. I just think the Sharks have a lot of that guy.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree. Oh,
they have a lot of that guy.
They do. They do. Well, I'm tired about talking about this team. I'm tired. I'm tired about the shit, dude. I'm done. I'm glad the off season's here, cuz I'm ready to kick it, and God, we're going to be in for another roller coaster ride next year.
Well, I mean, we got a couple of roller coasters coming up, right? We got the draft lottery coming up. That's going to be a roller coaster. The Sharks have obviously secured the best chances to draft Celebrini, but nothing's a given. I'm not as negative as some people are who think that we've already lost this thing. You know, and look, at honestly, though, like, if you're not following this Eastern Conference playoff race, man, you've been missing out. Like, it's been interesting, because it goes from like, none of the teams wanting it. It's like, nah, you go. I'm good. It's like, and now, tonight, when, you know, with the season winding down, I think all the teams that played that were in the race won tonight. So that was fun. Like, especially like a team like Detroit, who was down 4-2, they come back and win. Like, there's some fun stuff happening. You just have to expand your horizons beyond the Sharks.
Mm-hmm. No, I, you know, and you guys have always known that I've had a hard time doing that, because it's just, I get so invested in it, and it's just, you know, it's hard to watch hockey when your team's not playing. But, you know, there is some really, really compelling races. And I mean, that 3-way tie sitting at the bottom of the Metro is just, or two ties, and, you know, there's some jockeying. It's really interesting. So, yeah, go watch some Eastern Conference hockey. You know, get yourself rinsed of this filth that is the Sharks. okay, Ian, is there any one race that you're looking forward to in the East, kind of like concluding up, or are you looking towards a matchup that you think is most intriguing? What's your final couple storylines here for the end of the season?
I mean, obviously, like, so for the Eastern Conference playoffs, if the Washington Capitals win, I believe they play tomorrow. If they win, they're in. But again, like every time, like you expect, like, oh, the team just has to win these games and they'll be fine. They seem to blow it. Now, I think they're playing the Flyers, who are also like, who desperately need these points too, because they're one of the other teams in the mix. So I think that's going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to that to see if Washington wins, then it's all over. They're in. The Islanders are the other team that made it in the East, which is a crazy turnaround that they've had. And then actually, once you get to the playoffs themselves, I think there's like a couple of matchups that are interesting, but I want to kind of see how it all ends up being done.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. There's a couple ex-Sharks that you might want to be rooting for too. So, you know, we'll see. And in case you missed it and you want to check us out again, although I don't know why you would want to rewatch any of these horror shows, smash the like and subscribe button and hit the bell icon, although we've only got one show left. So, you know, and I guess it'll alert you for like when we do draft day coverage and all of that stuff and get
our
hearts broken there.
It's not over. Like it's just like the season might be over. After Dark's maybe over, but it's not over. Like we're going to do coverage like we do the draft.
No,
you know, we'll have coverage of the draft and we'll have other nonsense that happens, I'm sure.
Yeah, you could check it out on your podcatcher of choice, that being the Apple Podcast, whatever Google's calling their music store now, the YouTube Rewind, SoundCloud, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, the Odyssey app, and then, of course, always on TealTownUSA.com. Ian, thank you for putting up with me today.
Yeah, no worries.
It is... I don't even know what to say anymore. Just
it's been a year.
It's been a year, dude. It's been a year. And I thank you for riding shotgun and driving this thing, during the season. And I mean, honestly, I couldn't do it without my co-hosts. And like, you guys keep me going through this. Cause I couldn't, honestly, I don't know. I could sit and riff for 30 some odd minutes about what product we're seeing. And that's kind of my final thoughts for the season. I'm just thankful for my co-hosts. Ian, what are your final thoughts on where the people can find you?
When the Sharks do bad, it's good, but maybe it's not even good anymore. Like this sucked. What a waste of time this game was.
Dude, I mean, that's why I'm so dejected. I mean, I couldn't believe we topped out at like 60 viewers. I'm like, wow, just rambling about nothing and 60 people want to watch us.
I hope that people weren't expecting me to be like really angry, because like I have been all out of anger for this team a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I was angry and then I'm just like, I just gave in, you know, just.
Well, I mean, it's like I said, like this game sucks because like everything's all set, right? Like we're at this point, the best odds at the draft lottery are locked up. You know, we're just basically running out the clock at this point. So I mean, like at least they could do is try to be entertaining. But I think, you know, like again, I don't think. I don't think everything's all bad. Like I think this is necessary pain to get to where they need to go. And I'm hoping I choose to be hopeful for better things down the road. I choose to be hopeful that, you know, the Sharks do get Macklin Celebrini this summer and, you know, and have that piece that you can really, that where the rebuild has like a solid piece to build around. Cause I think not getting that pick, and I understand people being pessimistic about it or whatever, but like, it's harder. It's a lot harder to build a team when you're picking, you know, not first overall. And teams have done it, you know, like other teams have not won the lottery and have still managed to pull themselves out of this shit. But it's a lot easier when you get that guy.
Yep. Well, I don't think truer words could have been said, Ian. Thank you so much again. And you can find him at Ian Blocks Hockey on the X Machine. As far as where you can find me, you can use my first name. That's E-R-I-K, last name L-A-N-D-I, across all of the social media garbage. And you know how we like to end it. So everybody here at Teal Town, we love to keep it real, to keep it teal, and to keep it real teal. And we will see you after the final game in Calgary. Oh, Puck Guy, may the wind be with you.